How's it going, guys? It's Shanesh here from Folklore. You're listening on Jacaranda. No, I think that's a copyright infringement. You're listening on
Podcast for Change.
Podcast for Change. Sorry.
Hello and welcome to Podcast for Change, hosted by me, Raisa Nur Mohammed. Change is not something that exists in isolation and is in fact constantly in motion, present in the everyday encounter. This podcast aims to document those moments through unique conversations with different people, each with their own interesting stories to tell.
My name is Shanesh Rambali. I am a musician from Joburg. Most people know me as the guitarist of Le Focolodi. Maybe like 5 people know me as oversharing musician, because I also do put out my solo music, but no one really cares about that, but it's fine. But yeah, I am me, and yeah, it's cool to be on Podcast for Change.
Ayo! Thank you so much for wanting to. So, I really wanted to, because I love punk music and I love the punk scene, but also living in Cape Town, and while growing up, listening to bands, it's all, yeah, it's white men, not even, like, maybe there's Paramore, but I wasn't super into them.
Yeah.
And then be seeing the punk scene, it's all white men, and if there's women, they're white women.
Mm.
And so I was really struggling when I was looking for someone to speak to. I was really struggling to find a person of color.
Mm.
And then Damon told me about Le Focolodi.
Oh,
and when
cool.
I saw you guys, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
And then I looked at you guys, and then I saw that Lerato even does break dancing on stage.
Yeah.
I looked at you and I was like, whoa, people of color and punk, brown people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was so keen to talk to you.
It's very rare. Like, Lerato is a break dancer by nature. But even the break dancing thing, he just decided to do it at one show, and then it just became part of our set. And then also, obviously, like, brown people in a band, what?
Yeah, brown people in a band first.
In general, like, unheard of. Well, it was at the time. I think more people are getting into it now. But it's an interesting mix of people we have in the band. We didn't intend for it to be that way, but yeah.
Sometimes that's just how it be, though.
Yeah.
The people that are kind of drawn to each other.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I remember you said the origin story is you standing outside a music shop.
I was inside the music
inside
shop.
The music shop.
I wasn't standing outside.
Oh, I thought you were standing outside.
No,
the
I was
music
standing
shop.
Inside like a weirdo, not outside like a weirdo.
Different.
Potato,
but that's
potato.
How it's done.
Yeah.
That's how it's done, I guess.
Yeah, that's if opportunity doesn't knock, you gotta pull the door.
Yeah.
I got that from Spider-Man 2.
That's amazing.
The video game, not the movie.
The video game.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think also reaching out to you guys, I was nervous, obviously, because, you know, you see cool bands and whatever.
Yeah.
But I guess there's also was more of a comfortability about it, because you're people of color.
Mm.
That there's that you don't have that same...
Yeah. I mean, like, we already knew about you, too, because we were like, oh, that's the person from Green Day. Like, we've been seeing this clip everywhere. That's that person. Cool. And they're like, they're messaging us? What?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I was so... And then because I was pitching now doing a bedroom jam, I was so nervous.
Yeah, but it was... It worked out really well, and it was super fun to do.
Yeah. It was really cool.
Yeah, we still talk about it now. It was like, oh, we played in a bedroom, guys. And everyone's like, what? It's like, yeah, we played like in a bedroom, and then Yakin had like his little beads.
It sounded so good as well.
Yeah, it did sound good, so... Yeah.
So I think also just that level of comfortability and having... Because it's very vulnerable having random people in your home as well.
That is true.
If
it was me, I would have been like freaking out too, because I think, like, we didn't tell you how many people
were going to come. One person after the other got out of the car, I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But even like with chilling with you guys up to it, it was really nice, because I feel like there's an understanding.
Mm.
Do you think that dynamic and being people of color influences like how you make music and how you are together?
I mean, yes, I think it definitely does, because, like, I'm not gonna lie, when I first wanted to start a band, like, I remember, like, I was like going through meeting people and whatever, and I'd be like, oh, these are like all just white guys, and I'm like the only one here that's like not into like the same stuff as them and whatever. But then when I met like Yakin and Larata, we were talking about like house music and Michael Jackson, you know, and it was like, yeah, because this is what we fucking talk about. It's not like we just talk about punk and Paramore and like Blink 182 and whatever. So I think it definitely helped like there. And then also like with the actually making the music too, like I think that also helped a lot, because like there's a lot of like hip-hop influences in there. There's like a lot of weird stuff that I guess isn't usually like in Western music that we kind of put in, but it'll be like something like, oh, I remember this like Indian song from my childhood or something, and be like, it kind of sounds like that, and then you put it in there and it's like, yeah,
that also just adds to such a uniqueness.
Yeah.
And you guys, I feel like bands like Lefukolodi, where it's people of color, it does so much for people to watch, to be a person of color and see people that look like you on a stage is crazy. Have you found that?
Yeah, I mean, so weirdly for me, when I was starting out, I never knew of like any Indian people that played guitar. Like, but then afterwards, like people started coming to me and being like, oh, you know, you actually inspired me to like start a band and stuff. And I'm like, ah, that's cool. So yeah, definitely. I think like people definitely like they gravitated to us because of that too. And I mean, it wasn't just like people of color either. It was also just like other young kids, like other young white kids and stuff. They were like, holy shit, this band's doing cool things. I also want to do it.
Yeah.
So yeah.
It's really special to have that, to have people see you. But also it's like the different layer of relatability, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, for sure. Like, it is very different. Like, I mean, I think in our band, like, I hate to like crush everyone's perceptions and dreams of us. We don't like drive Ferraris or anything. We're just like four dudes from Joburg, and like we just like regular people. And I guess people also like us because of that. There's no facade that we're trying to put on and stuff. Like, yeah. So we're very like authentic in that sense, and then people gravitate towards that.
Yeah, no, because obviously I didn't know anything about you, and then you were just like setting up in my
room.
But then seeing that you guys were so chilled, it was so nice, because a lot of people aren't like that. Like a lot of musicians aren't like that. And then, yeah, that level of comfortability, it also makes it so nice to watch. And I remember the next day when I saw you guys for your other show.
Yeah.
And you were so happy to see me, and you all talked to me. I was like, this is so nice.
Yeah.
This is so, like, oh, yeah. This is so sweet.
Yeah, no, of course. Because, like, you fed us, too.
Gotta give me one of these.
It's been a while.
wait.
Yeah, dude, like, that butter chicken last night.
That, but better.
I woke up in the morning. Yeah,
I can play. Yeah.
You did two bowls of that bitch, dude. Like, that was good.
You're like, oh, this person's cool, like they give us food.
And of course. And it's like also that brown people thing. It's like, obviously I'm gonna feed you. You took your time, you came here, I can't give you money, but I will give you food.
Yeah, no, of course. That's why we were like, hey, it's Ray.
Hey, give me a CD. I was so happy.
Oh yeah. This is for you.
Thank you. Oh my gosh, I'm gonna put it in my dad's car.
Today.
That's so fucking sick.
Oh, and we got that the Focaloni thing there.
Is it? You guys did this.
Geeking out, dude.
I didn't see that.
I'm geeking out, dude. Like, it's nuts.
Oh, wait. That's
bro.
Wait.
You open it, all those things burnt into it. That's you.
You don't have markers with. Maybe we can find one.
I have a marker.
Your marker?
In my bag, yeah.
Can we sign it for her?
And now we're besties
for life. We're besties for life. Yeah. For real.
Yeah.
So how did you get into music? Because I feel like brown people's origin stories are very different sometimes.
Well, funny enough, like, someone asked me this on Instagram this morning, and it actually made me think. So it's a good thing they asked that question before you did, because I actually know the answer now. But, like, when I was, like, maybe, like, 7 or 8, we used to do, like, weekly, like, prayer services, because I grew up in a Hindu household. And my dad used to play the harmonium, which is like basically like a sitting down accordion kind of vibe. I mean, that's how I can explain it now. But then I would also like sing at the services, and then my dad would like teach me like, you know, a couple of keys here and there. And I think that's where it really started for me. And then obviously later I I still, like, you know, I listened to other kinds of music, and then I started learning guitar and other stuff like that. So, but I think, like, where it started was, like, for, like, religious purposes.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think for me, like, way back, and my mother sent me for piano lessons, my brother and I, but it was so far away, I think she got tired of. And my cousin continued, and then my dad's one sister was also a piano teacher. But, okay. Like, we, I think with us it just never continued. And then over the years, because I'm Muslim and a lot, like, a perception is, I don't know how true it is, I'd still like to research it, but a perception is that music is not allowed.
Yeah, that's also, like, what I thought.
Music's around, yeah. But my dad's actually the one who bought, like, the first thing I played was a ukulele. Okay. And my dad's the one who got me the ukulele. And I always wanted to play an electric guitar, but it's so expensive. Yeah. In a lot of ways, music can be very inaccessible.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Because just getting an instrument is so expensive.
Yeah, I mean, like, I remember when I got my first guitar. Ironically, we only got that guitar because, I mean, I have an older sister, so we used to, like, share everything. So my sister wanted a guitar because she was really into Avril Lavigne.
Nice.
And then she was 10 and I was 7. So I remember my dad bought us, like, the combo, which was the guitar and the amp, for like R1,000, which back in the day, which was like, what, 2004, that was a lot of fucking money.
That is.
Yeah. So it's always not been, like, the most accessible thing. I mean, compared to other hobbies, I mean, I hate to, like, use this example, right? But, I mean, a PlayStation, okay, well, the new PlayStations cost like, what, R12,000.
Yeah.
It's cheaper to buy that than to buy, like, a guitar rig.
Yes! You know? So, like, a good guitar rig. Yeah. Like, a good amp and some pedals as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So, yeah, I think that's kind of the fucked up thing about it. And ironically, music equipment is, like, so expensive, and, like, musicians are so poor. So how the fuck does that work?
Literally! No, because the thing is with music, people always say that, oh, you can teach yourself, you don't need to go for lessons. And I said, but I don't have anything to learn on. I think, my dad, it was a Black Friday. We just walked into a music shop and there was a guitar on special. But it was also, like, a pretty shitty, like, beginner guitar that my dad was like, okay, you need to start with beginner. But then we just never went, we never progressed. But also, I think I played the ukulele a lot more because I got so despondent playing the guitar. Because I don't know, it felt so difficult. It's only last year, actually, the last year was the first time I found out that the fretboard is like notes. It's like a piano. Like, I didn't know anything. I was just vibing. Like, my guitar sat untouched for years.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Because it was so intimidating for me.
No, I mean, like, I remember, it's a funny story. The reason I actually started playing guitar is because, like, so when I was, like, 15, we used to have, like, these talent shows at school, and I used to sing in them just, like, with a backing track, and it's gonna sound a bit weird, but, like, I used to sing, like, you know, Neo and, like, those, like, very, like, R&B pop kind of people, right? Because that was my vibe.
That
was my vibe. But then I noticed that, like,
also for that era, that was proper.
It was.
That's so, like, that era was that.
But the reason I started playing guitar is because, like, I realized that, like, all the kids that won the talent show, because I never won the talent show, but all the kids that did, they either played piano and they sang, or they played guitar and they sang. So I was like, okay, I need to pick one now. And then I was like, piano, too many keys, I'm not gonna learn that shit. Guitar, I mean, it's got 6 strings, okay, I can, because, like, all I wanted to be able to do was, like, play 3 chords and, like, sing a song. That's all I wanted to be able to do. I was like, Ed Sheeran was popping off at the time too, and I was like,
"Oh yeah, so you can do Ed Sheeran."
Yeah, I can. Weirdly, like, but that was like my goal.
Yeah,
I was only to get to that level.
Nice.
Yeah. So yeah, that was the reason I started playing guitar, and then the only reason I started playing electric guitar, or, like, starting to take, like, guitar but seriously, is because, I'm about to, like, show my age here, but. I remember one day I was, like, chilling on my couch and I had MTV on and I was just talking to people on BBM.
Listen, you're still young. your age doesn't even start with a 3 yet.
Yet. 2 more years for that.
We all get there.
Yeah. But then I had...
BBM was a time.
Yeah. BBM was a time. yeah, you could see what people are listening to, and then sometimes
they're listening
to dodgy stuff.
And then you kind of monitor what you listen to because you don't want people to judge you.
Because back then, like, no, there was no Spotify and stuff, so people were like listening
downloading,
to
downloading, yes.
And then they were also watching some weird videos. But anyways, yeah, so I had like, I was just chilling on BBM, and then like MTV came on, and then like there was like a Drake concert, like the rapper Drake.
Yeah.
And then like, it's kind of weird because it was like a rap thing, but his guitarist like started playing, like, and then I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. I want to learn how to do this. And then that, from that point, that was a spark for me to learn. So I got like that same electric guitar that my dad got us when I was like 7 and had never been touched.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, fuck it, I'm going to bust it out. And then, yeah, then I just I started learning. And that's, I was like, so about cool. 16, 17-ish, yeah.
That's so cool. No, it gives me, like, hearing that really cool guitarists started at, like, you know, when they weren't 11 or 8. Mm. It gives me a lot of hope.
Yeah, because I'm a teacher, so I teach, like, kids that are way younger than I was when I started playing, and then they'll always get, like, frustrated, and they'll be like, no, but, you know, I'll never be as good as you and whatever, and I'm like, I started when I was 16. You started when you were 12.
Literally.
Like, you can be way better than me. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. It feels very, because sometimes the music scene as well can, it just depends where you are in the scene, but it can be very exclusionary.
Yeah. I mean, how
it just
I,
it depends where you are though.
How I got into the scene. So, I mean, so I started playing electric guitar from when I was like 16, 17-ish, but then I wouldn't take it like super seriously because I was in grade 11 and I was like, I need to lock in for school or whatever.
That's when you go through it.
Yeah, so I was busy with that stuff and then matric and then first year university and stuff, but I was still playing and stuff. But then I remember like second year, I got like really bogged down with the university stuff and I was like 20 at the time. So then I pretty much put down my guitar for like 2 years.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, so I didn't play for like 2 years. And then I only picked it up again. And at that point, like, bear in mind, I never become like good. I was still like...
Were you still 3 chords?
I mean, I could play like Crazy Train.
Oh, okay.
I could play that. But like, I was pretty like bang average, like maybe even below average. But then I only really started taking guitar seriously when it was COVID.
Oh, damn.
So 2020, that was when I was 23, because we were in lockdown.
That gives me hope, because I started really playing at 22.
Yeah, you can be good, man. Like, you just gotta, like, if you...
I'm 23, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So then I was like, I have nothing to do, and then I'd, like, practice 10 hours a day or 12 hours a day. But also, stupidly, like, TikTok also started becoming a big thing, like, 2020, like, during COVID times. And then, like, I saw, like, all these kids that were, like, 17, like, playing stuff that I couldn't play. And I was like, fuck these kids. I can be better than them.
That was my first thought as well. And I was like, those kids.
Yeah. So, I guess my ego
is
also...
I'm a hater, I'll admit
it. I'm also a hater. I'm like, this kid ain't
like
shit.
Those kids, man.
Yeah. Fuck these kids. So, I locked in and I was like, okay, I now need to actually get good. So I only started my own band, well, I joined my own band when I was 25 as well, which is also considered late. I mean, from what you told me, like, Damon and Chris have been playing for like, what, 13 years?
They did a high school talent show.
So, I mean, for me, the first time I ever played guitar on stage was 25. So, yeah, I mean, some people are just late bloomers in life, but yeah.
I think that's also why watching you guys for me, or seeing you guys, also meant so much. Because like, with the music, even like, as nice as people can be, when it's white people, the families are different, the backgrounds are different.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
feels like something yeah. that I can't access.
Yeah.
And so it made me, like, a lot of the time, like, I remember before when I was so despondent, it made me feel like it's something that I could never have just because of where I come from.
Yeah.
But then, like, it gives, like, when I see someone that looks like me and who has, like, a similar background and has similar stories, like, it gave me a lot of hope.
Yeah, I mean, that does help a lot, because, I mean, we didn't really have those people when we started.
Yeah.
So we were like, I guess we'll see where this goes.
Yeah.
But now we've played Molly Pop and Misty Waters and...
You guys are so cool.
Yeah, so, like... I guess hopefully we can continue, like, being inspirational.
And you guys are also so chilled.
Yeah, I mean, like as I said, we're just four dudes from Joburg. Like, what? Like, we're not driving Ferraris. We have no reasons to be douchebags. You know, like, I'm not gonna even if I was rich, I wouldn't be one of those rich people that like only like blue Skittles. You know, like what's the point, bro?
Like, just, for me, it's like rich people are like wasting their money. Like, you have so much money, and you choose to
you're choosing gold plated toilet paper.
Literally, like,
bro, like, your shit still smells the same as mine. You know, like, what's a girl gonna do?
This is also why I like talking to bad people.
Yeah, I was like, well, like you can be rich and not spend your money on dumb shit. You know? Like,
yo, no, I daydream about making money so I can buy another guitar pedal.
Yeah, right.
Yo, so, having hobbies sucks. It's so expensive.
Oh,
but it's so
nice. Yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes I feel like my dad wishes I didn't choose such an expensive hobby. No, but like, I have a lot of different hobbies, like a crochet and beads and all of those. Like, it adds up.
You know, it's funny because like when I was like in when I before I like like was into music, like I played cricket in school. Yeah. And I remember my dad complaining. It was like, this stuff costs like so bloody expensive. And like, little did he know, the music stuff would be way more.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah, it's so nice to have. Yeah, it's so nice to be around people where you're like, oh, okay. Like, just being around people, I think, I don't realize how rare it is sometimes to be around people where you see and they inspire you.
Yeah, yeah, I get that. Well, I have yet to, I mean, again, for me, it's like, I don't, it's going to sound a bit pretentious. I don't have anyone to look up to, bro, like, in that sense.
Really?
Yeah, who do I look up to? Which other Indian guitarists do you know in South Africa?
Oh, like that? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, who do you know? Except me.
Yeah. No, for real. I was like, for me, like, when you ask, like, sometimes people ask about role models, and I don't have a single role model that I don't know personally.
Yeah, same. It's like what do you want me to look up to? Like,
when that, because I didn't think of, because all mine are, like, activists as well, because I do different stuff. Yeah. And so when it comes to music, it's you. Like,
yeah.
Because there isn't any other Indian guitarist. Yeah, you're right.
Who else? Who am I supposed to look up to? Like,
exactly.
So, like, for me, too, it's like, well, I guess I just need to uphold the standards, because if I somehow fuck up, then I'm letting like a whole fucking potentially a generation of kids down, you know?
I actually know, it's that imposter syndrome that that hits, because I felt the same with activism, because when I started as well, I don't know what it was, but worldwide, there's like that generation, like, who was born in like my year or the next year, like Greta Thunberg is like 6 months younger than me.
Mm.
So all the activists I know globally, or a lot of them, are my age. I don't know what happened. Even locally, we all started around a similar time. When I did it, like, I was like standing outside my school gates on Fridays, and I didn't know, like, I didn't have that. I had like some older people that were very supportive, but now when I see we do workshops and like there's a lot of different companies that will bring activists in to consult because they want to create safe spaces for activists.
Yeah.
And I always think, whoa, like, this is, I get really happy about it because I never had that, like, the level of support that they want to create and cultivate. I never had that.
Yeah.
So sometimes I also feel like if I mess up, then I'm letting a lot of people down. But actually, you know, You're like, I know I sound hypocritical because I feel like that, but as someone who is not you, you're human, and that's what makes it so nice.
But the sort of freaky things now, right, is that like a lot of kids look up to Lefoko Lordi.
Oh yeah.
And obviously, when we start a band, like, you start a band with like three of your friends or whatever, you don't ever think that kids are gonna look up to you.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh fuck, you know.
Like, oh, it's a whole child.
It's a whole child that, like, you know, is like,
yeah, that is a lot of pressure.
Telling me they want to get my face tattooed on their butt cheeks.
A whole child was doing, that was a child. Okay, listen, I'm not going to lie. Sometimes parents need to.
Yeah.
Like, you know, technology is like, I'm with the boomers on this one.
Yeah.
It is same. Those damn
same.
Phones.
No, same.
Like, yeah. I think about myself and my the access I had to the internet, and I'm like, wow, it really was those damn phones.
Mm-hmm.
It really was that damn, like, it really was.
Yeah.
Which is kind of, yeah. But yeah, no, it's wild because watching, I only watched you play once, I think. Mm-hmm. And it's even though I'm watching you, I felt seen. Maybe it had something to do with the fact that you pulled me on stage.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that was fun.
But I was like, oh, this is like, oh, God, I feel special.
Yeah.
But yeah.
All we knew it was your birthday, too. Happy birthday, dear Elisa.
Oh, would you be helping? On the drop, okay? On the drop! Fuck it!
I mean,
so you were like, oh,
homies gonna, for life now.
I think I even told you, I was like, we're gonna do something for your birthday. But
oh,
I'm
yes, you didn't tell me what. And yeah. Then it was, we have a homie in the audience, and I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's also, like, I mean, nice in general. It's like, I mean, that's not the first time. We've done it now a couple of times, too, where it's like if someone says it's their birthday or whatever, then it's like, you know, try to make things special for them.
Yeah, it's so sweet as well.
We're not Green Day, but we try.
You know, and
Like, let me ask you, which was cooler, the Green Day thing or us?
Listen, I don't think it's a fair comparison.
So we were better than Green Day, like...
Listen, I honestly hold it to the same level.
Okay. But you just said it's incomparable.
It's not comparable. That's okay. Why I'm like, for me, those type of experiences are... No, people, every time people told me, like, so many people have said, oh, what does it feel like knowing that you've, like, hit your peak? And, like, oh, that was the best thing in your life. I was like, yo, my life's not that. Like, shit. I got so irritated because I'm like, yo, I'm so much more than, like, that was a moment.
Yeah, that's true.
My life is so much more than, like, I'm not going to make this my personality now.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I had a moment, I snorkeled for the first time, like, ever.
Okay.
As part of, like, one of my courses, we were doing, like, embodiment, and it was with this really cool, like, Dr. Joanne Pierce. She's so cool, and we went to this beach, and she told us about how it used to be, like, prisoner of war camp, and so the context she did it in, and she talks about brown bodies in the water, so the context of, like, that being my first time ever snorkeling was so nice to
hear. That's cool, yeah.
And it was the most magical experience, and I was, like, swimming, and I was like, yo, and people always say, like, being on Green Day, like, the stage with Green Day is the best thing in my life. No, but I'm not to sound ungrateful, though. I'm fucking, like, that was crazy.
Awesome,
that was fucking cool.
I mean, I think you'll do cooler things, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not comparable, because I hold it to this, like, that is so special.
Mm.
Like, it was such a special time. It was such a special day.
Yeah.
And you guys are so cool. Like, just being friends with you, I feel like, is so
We're just regular
special.
People.
Yeah.
We're not special.
You are. That's the thing, though. You are. Like, you are.
I mean, I guess in the way that, like, everyone's mom says they're special.
Someone said I'm special in the way, like, but, like, the, like, in bus window style special.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, but I don't think that. I think, no, once in school I had, like, a whole existential crisis because one of the principals gave a talk where she said, she told us, she's like, remember, if everyone's special, then nobody's special. And then I had a whole crisis because I'm like, yo. Then I said, that's such bullshit.
I wish I was special.
Yo, that was me with my ukulele. That's still me with my ukulele. But then I said, that's such bullshit. Just because, like, there's a lot of special people doesn't mean that it dilutes. And you guys are special.
Mm.
Like, the fact that you inspire people is a very special thing. The fact that... you are that Indian guitarist. It's a very special thing.
Yeah, King's the Indian drummer.
And the Indian drummer. And it's not like it's something that was easy.
Yeah,
A lot of things are things like we fight for it.
Yeah, no, for sure. For sure. Like, culturally it's different.
Yeah.
It's like generally frowned upon.
Yeah.
You know? So there's things that we generally have to go through that other people can't comprehend in that sense. Yeah.
No, for me, even the Green Day moment, I was terrified afterwards because I knew it was going to go online.
Yeah.
It went quite viral.
Yeah, it did.
After that. And then I was scared because I'm like, the community, like, everyone else is so happy. And it was mostly white people. And I couldn't comprehend how it could be something that people frowned upon.
Yeah.
But I know the community was... God, my dad has watched this thing, like, over 100 times. Like, he's so proud of me.
That's the first time I heard of you.
I mean, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, no, but I'm obviously like...
Yeah, I mean, it was a Green Day moment.
That was the first time I was like, oh, that's the same person.
Yeah, people don't know how much we like fight for those moments. Yeah. So when people say they're jealous of me or something, I was like, I was that brown kid who had the green, like inside my cupboard, because I couldn't put it on my actual bedroom wall.
Yeah.
But I had like photos of Green Day stuck up inside my cupboard.
Yeah.
And even when it comes to punk, like something about being in Cape Town with the way I dress or having a mullet or something, people will joke now about it being basic. And I was like, no, I did this in high school. The type of music I listened to, even when you say like things like My Chemical, me liking My Chemical Romance and Radiohead and Pink Floyd is like, you say that that's common, but for me, no one else listened to it.
Yeah, same for me.
It was a fight to get to this point. Like, the fact that it was common for you when you were growing up.
Yeah.
For me, it was like, I had to fight.
Mm-hmm.
I was that different kid in school.
Yeah, dude, I was the fucking loser in school. And now I'm cooler than anyone I know I went to school with.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's weird how life works out.
It is. No, I was always that kid. Like, everyone thought I was, like you know, that kind of special.
Yeah.
Yeah, people kind of, like, looked at me and I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's these little things that are, you know, it makes change. Like, the fact that you are that Indian guitarist is, it's a massive thing of, it creates change.
Yeah.
It sparks change.
Yeah, it does. It does. But it's a weird thing to think about, because, like, generally I don't think about it. But, like, now that I'm thinking about it, it's like, oh, shit, I am the only Indian. Like, there's a couple, like, maybe one or two,
give
like...
Give me a few months. I'll be there going... Wa-de-wa-de-wa-de-wa-de-wa-de-wa-de-wa.
Yeah. But, like, generally when I was thinking about it now, I'm like, huh, all the people I look up to are white, you know? Except for, like, you know, maybe, like, the guitarist of Rage Against the Machine, Tom Morello.
Ooh.
But... And Hendrix and, like, you know, those people. But in general, it's like... No one's like me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's also why I wanted to, like, that was the whole premise of this podcast, I guess. Mm. Just looking at all these things that make change and make change happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird to think. I know it's weird to think about the fact that, like, oh, whoa.
Oh, shit. I'm the chosen one.
Where's that scar on your forehead?
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Now we don't stand.
It's a bindi. It's not a scar.
My dad used to joke that the Indian Harry Potter is Puripatta.
Shit.
But yeah, it's trippy to think about sometimes. Like, the fact that, oh wait, I do this thing that I've never seen people do.
Yeah.
And it means something to people.
Yeah.
What?
It is. I mean, even like, weirdly, I mean, I know mostly talking about the project that people care about, which is Le Focolodi.
Yeah.
But like, even with my acoustic, my solo stuff, it's also like, I don't know, like, I mean, there's a couple, maybe one or two that I do know, like, Indian people doing the same stuff as me.
Yeah.
But like, in general, like, no.
It's difficult I
mean,
to find.
Yeah. I mean, also, like, I mean, in general, because the music I'm...
take time up from mid school.
Yeah. Yeah. Because like, the type of music I make is like very sad and poetic. And like, I think, there's like very few men that even do that.
That's the thing. No, like, I always think like Indian boys will love it. No, but our community is like
not even Indian, bro. Just in general, like, men like don't.
I was like, oh no, the Indian boys will love it. And then I was like, wait, men in general.
Yeah, men in general. Because I mean, this has been like the general perception of my music. It's very like, not in a bad derogatory way, but it's very like female written stuff. But I think that's just because other men aren't in touch with their emotions.
Yes.
You know? Because I'm not like trying to be any specific way. It's just the music I make, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you can feel your feels, man. Like,
yeah. Like, sometimes men like will talk or something and I'm like, do you not have friends? Like, don't you talk men don't talk to each other.
You know, like when I was growing up, that was the case. But like, thankfully now, I think like, the generation of like our people is like a lot different. I mean, you've seen how we are with like Kavesh and
like, you guys are so cool.
Yeah.
Hey, yo, shout out Kavesh.
Yeah, shout out Kavesh. Like, so that's like, I think, positive masculinity, because I think like the main issue is like people, like, there is like a male loneliness thing, but like they sort of like blamed it on women when it
yes!
it wasn't like their fault. Like, you're supposed to be able to speak to the men in your life,
yeah.
not even just your friends, you know, your family members or whatever, yeah. about the stuff, because, you know, I mean, women do it with other women
yeah.
as well. So it's like,
I had really close guy friends and I didn't know why. And then I realized it's because
like, they have no one else to talk to.
Like, they didn't have anyone else. They felt safe to talk.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, like I think, like, to an extent, it still kind of is like that.
Yeah.
Which is why I appreciate having, like, a lot of women friends.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I think things are slowly changing.
Yeah, it's really nice to see.
And hopefully we can get people to stop watching Andrew Tate and Jordan Peterson.
Oh my god.
And then
this rise of the right is really concerning me, especially for this like new generation of kids, but let's not go there.
That's gonna be a whole other
thing.
Yeah.
I mean, one thing I would say
Fuck those guys, but like I've been seeing also an uprising of like positive masculinity, like like influencers and stuff, which is really good.
It's really nice to see.
Yeah.
So I think kind of to I could talk for like another hour.
Same.
But I think just to wrap up a bit there's a, like the one common thread. I think even though the podcast is just conversation, one common thread is just like one question, and that is, what does change look like to you?
Huh. I guess it's like, I think to me, it would be creating something and then seeing the fruits of the creation. That's when you actually witness the change, because you can say you're going to change things. It's a completely different thing from actually making change. Mm. And sometimes that change happens unintentionally.
Yeah.
And you don't expect it to happen, but it happens and you realize it's actually a good thing, which is what we've been talking about now, which what you mentioned about, like, you know, being like a person of color band and being a person of color musician and stuff like that. You don't think about those things when you start, but then afterwards you see the fruits of it and then you're like,
it's special.
It is special.
Special, like not looking bus window special, like really special.
Like, yeah, proper, yeah. Yeah.
This was such a nice conversation.
It was, yeah.
Now we're like homies for two lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're like cats, almost.
Yeah.
We just need to do this like 7 more times.
Yeah, they'd be like,
yeah.
Cat status.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for chatting.
Of course.
And shout out, go listen to Lefokolodi and go follow Oversharing Musician. We'll get you more than 5 people.
Thanks.
I watch your WhatsApp stories.
My WhatsApp stories?
You post on your WhatsApp stories.
I do. I only started doing that recently, though. But I also have my read receipts off, so I don't see who sees my stuff. Unless they like it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I watch your Instagrams and your WhatsApp stories.
And my Spotify's.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. Next collab is going to be our silly song. Stay tuned. Ray and Shanesh out.
Peace.
Peace. And love. And non-toxic
Yeah.
masculinity.
Yes.
Okay.